and offer exceptional customer service and provide quality services or goods. You're honest, reliable, and professional. If you have a business, we have the customers. Let us put you in touch with our loyal, supportive, and dedicated listeners today. They're waiting to hear from you. It's inexpensive. It's effective. Call KHNC at 1-800-205-6245.
Well, good morning. Dr. Stan here at the American Freedom Network, and with us this morning is Ambassador Henry Cooper, and we're going to be talking about the very real threat of an electromagnetic pulse attack on America. Now, to most people, the idea that America could be attacked is just as distant as possible from their minds. Why, nothing could ever happen to America, but the very real problem is that one nuclear weapon exploded 300 miles over the center of our country could largely wipe out the electronic grid of this country. And what is so amazing is, despite this fact, it's been known for at least a decade, and there have been a number of congressional investigations that confirm this very real danger. Nothing effectively has been done, well, until about 2 months ago, when at least the state of Maine determined they were going to try to protect their state and pass legislation to separate their electronic grid from the rest of the country and put in breakers and protect their electronic grid in case there is a nuclear attack. One nuclear weapon exploded 300 miles above the center of our country, or a severe solar flare could simply change America instantaneously. Ambassador Cooper, you pick up the story and bring our listeners up to date about what's going on.
Well, I think, Dr. Stan, you've done a very good job of defining what the problem is. And just knowing that this is a serious problem, of course, is not new. We've understood that electromagnetic pulse, the EMP, from nuclear explosions for half a century. We learned on a atmospheric test in 1962 about these effects when the lights and a lot of other electronic gear on the Hawaiian Peninsula in Honolulu were shut down many hundreds of miles away. And electronics in those days were dependent on vacuum tubes. They were not transistorized. They didn't involve a lot of solid-state electronics as we have today, and therein lies the problem for our electronics today. Everything from the automobiles that we drive to basically the heating systems in our home to all of the banking industry, just-in-time economic entities of industry. And if we had such an event as the Starfish Prime event of 1962 above the United States, just as you said, it would shut down the entire electric grid, most likely. And that would leave us without the ability to survive, because we have become so dependent upon transportation for our food, the electronics to move our money, the arrival of critical medicine, insulin, whatever, operations in our hospitals and power systems throughout the country. So it would be a disaster, and there have been competent estimates made that up to two-thirds to perhaps 90% of all Americans might perish within 6 months to a year after such an event. We have no agrarian society to fall back upon when society is forced back into the mode of operations that was commonplace 200 years ago in the 19th century. And that's the beast. That's the nature of the problem. And unfortunately, there are folks who wish us ill today. We've always had this problem, of course, with the Soviet Union and the Chinese, who well understand these effects, and they always plan to deploy them against us. If they were to ever attack us with nuclear weapons, they would begin the attack with high-altitude bursts over the United States. And so during the Cold War, we hardened our military systems, strategic systems, and the communication systems to control them to assure that the president could respond if we were ever so attacked. And as far as we know, that worked. But what we did not do was to do anything to harden the critical electronic infrastructure of the country at the time, and so it remains vulnerable to this day. And everyone now knows this. I mean, what was big secret then is common knowledge, not only with Russia and China, but with throughout the world, the Third World, and in particular North Korea and Iran, who both are building nuclear weapons and seek to put them on long-range missiles to launch them at us. Most people in this country think of them coming over the North Pole. They could come over the South Pole as well, and we are totally defenseless against them. What we have learned in the last decade or so, thanks to a congressionally appointed EMP commission to study these effects, is that the sun can create these effects as well. And I say we learned it. It became widely known at that point. I'm sure that our physicists and others, some of them anyway, understood this was the case because there was a major event in 1859 when it shut down, a solar event shut down the undersea cable and caused problems in our telegraph systems throughout this country. If such an event were to happen today, it's the judgment of many people that that would shut down our entire electric grid. And here we are, having, as you said, done nothing about this, even though it's been known to be a problem for half a century, and particularly over the past decade, when thanks to a few congressmen who pressed to put into place this EMP commission, which is not a partisan group. It's made up of both Republicans and Democrats. The only common thing among them was that they were all scientists, physicists, engineers, who well understood these facts from the Cold War, as well as the technology. And they made recommendations which have not been heeded by the Congress or by the executive branch ever since. The one hopeful sign today is that two things, actually. You mentioned the Maine initiative, and that is what I would encourage all of the state legislatures in this country to follow. And that is thanks to a Congress lady, a Democrat, by the way, from Sanford, Maine. We have... Did we break up, or are we still on?
No, we're still going.
I had a funny signal. Andrea Bolin, in this case, has understood this to be a threat and has undertaken initiatives, managed to get bipartisan support in the Maine legislature, and they, just a few months ago, passed legislation to do as you said, to harden their grid.
Hold that thought. We'll be back at this moment with Ambassador Henry Cooper right here. That's the American Freedom Network.
Should a natural or man-made disaster hit, do you have the will, the skill, and the gear? Gear up with Preparedness Gear, a full-service store located at I-25 and Highway 52, exit 235, just south of McDonald's. We have your survival needs. Long-term storage, food, water filtration, bulk grains, bug-out bags, survival equipment, and a comprehensive selection of educational books. Visit us online at preparednessgear.com for upcoming classes or call us toll-free at 888-981-9810. That's 888-981-9810. Get your gear on. Great Plains Power has been providing reliable electrical power systems in the Rocky Mountain area since 1992. Our systems rely on the sun to help make you self-reliant for your power needs. Solar energy can be scaled to fit any situation, from complete power independence to backup power for the short term. Our expertise focuses on standalone power, but we have extensive experience with utility interactive systems as well. Custom tailored capabilities as modest as emergency lighting all the way to commercial scale power. Great Plains Power is a full service company. We service everything we sell. We provide and design turnkey packages, custom design system, and parts for do-it-yourself. With more than 20 years of specialized experience at your disposal, let us know what your power concerns or goals are. Reach us by phone or the internet. Call 303-239-9963. That's 303-239-9963. Or go to greatplainssolar.com.
We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, to ordain and establish this Constitution.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here, our guest this morning, Ambassador Henry Cooper, and we're talking about the very real threat to America of an electromagnetic pulse attack or a solar flare, either which could knock out our entire electronic system, and we're totally dependent upon it for everything in America. There's very little that we can do that is not somehow or other tied to our electric grid, and yet, Sydney, although efforts have been made to correct the problem nationwide, nothing has been done, and the question is, why? Ambassador Cooper, please pick up the story.
Well, I was saying there were two things that signs of encouragement. The first one was Andrea Boland's efforts in the state of Maine, basically, in some sense, out of frustration that the federal government is not doing their job on this, undertook an initiative and got it formally through their legislature to provide guidance to study and to repair their electronic grid as a part of a major improvement program that's going on in their grid now. And I would strongly encourage other states to follow that lead, to work from the bottom up. Hopefully Washington will get its act together, and there are positive signs on that front, but I wouldn't wait on them. And the positive sign comes from the efforts of Congressman Trent Franks from Arizona and Yvette Clark from New York, a Republican and a Democrat, who lead the EMP caucus in the House and have initiated again the SHIELD Act, which was also initiated in the last Congress but unfortunately did not make it out of the Energy and Commerce Committee to be voted on by the full House and go to the Senate. Hopefully we'll do better this year. I've been in several meetings recently. It's growing. Momentum is growing. And the apparent threat is growing. Just this past week, if you were paying attention, you noticed that there was a Panamanian stop of a North Korean vessel headed through the Panama Canal back to North Korea carrying the SA-2. The surface-to-air missile that shot down Gary Powers in 1962, I guess it was, and presumably for the North Koreans to repair or make improvements or whatever. A lot of people want to dismiss this, and I wouldn't do it too hastily because the SA-2 could carry a warhead, and if it were on a vessel, launch it over the southern part of this country and create an EMP effect. Might not go high enough to cover the entire country, but one or more of them could shut down a major portion of the electronic grid around the Gulf of Mexico, or if it went to California, it could go there or wherever. More notable about it, it illustrates the what I refer to as the cacophony of proliferation and the cooperation between all sorts of states, because that same vessel was in China and in Russia earlier this year, and they both cooperate, of course, with North Korea. North Korea cooperates with Iran. Iran's been present at the North Korean test. Iran is also building long-range missiles, and they have both, North Korea and Iran, they have both launched satellites over the South Pole, which cross over the United States, interestingly enough, a couple hundred miles above the surface. And so if you were to put a nuclear weapon on board one of those, you could bring it over the U.S. So North Korea is in the gambit of working with Cuba, who says they're not selling to terrorists because they'll sell anything for money. I think it's reasonably well to well understood fact that that's the case. And they're working, of course, with Iran. Iran is led by the mullahs, not by the president. People forget that. They want to point at the new guy, Rouhani, who is the leader, as being more moderate than the preceding leader. I thought Benjamin Netanyahu, prime minister from Israel, pretty well captured the situation there when he said that the old leader was a wolf in sheep's in wolf's clothing, whereas the current leader is a wolf in sheep's clothing. And so Iran threatens us. They threaten not only Israel. They refer to the United States as the great Satan. They refer to Israel as the little Satan, and they intend to destroy us both. I mean, that is not just a supposition. That is their policy or their long-term objective, as stated by the mullahs. So it's a pretty threatening situation that we find ourselves in. With respect to the solar threat, the power grid needs to be hardened. And if you do that, you also can go a long way toward dealing with the nuclear threat. The nuclear threat creates effects in addition to the long wavelength pulse, which is the threat primarily to the power lines that interconnect the electric power grid. But the nuclear threat also contains higher frequency, shorter wavelength pulse that is the threat to all the electronics that I spoke of earlier, the solid-state electronics. So a nuclear problem remains with us. We know how to deal with that problem, and if we could get the powers that be to put the money in the right places, we could fairly quickly move to build defenses that would protect us against ships that are off our coast and threats from the south, including from Cuba and Venezuela, with whom North Korea and Iran both cooperate. So there are reasons to be hopeful, because we can see the solutions there. And on the missile front, a positive thing to report there is that just in the last Senate, the Senate Armed Services Committee passed directions for the Secretary of Defense to deliver, I think it's within 100 days of the bill becoming law, a report to Congress on how the threat from the south and from ships off our coast could be dealt with. And last week, before the Appropriations Committee, Admiral Searing, who heads the Missile Defense Agency, was testifying. He was asked a direct question by Senator Cochran from Mississippi as to whether Aegis was being looked at as a possible solution set for protecting at least the East Coast, and he got a positive reply from Admiral Searing. So I would say there are a lot of things that are aligning in a hopeful way. The real question is whether or not actions will be taken in time. And again, I come back to the point that I made earlier, that I really would urge the home folks, the local authorities, the state legislatures in particular, to follow the lead of Maine.
And I think it's so vitally important for people to understand this is not an imaginary threat. I mean, the people who've studied this in Washington, D.C. are deeply concerned. But, of course, the major question, since basically we're talking about the very survival of our nation, why hasn't anything been done? Who is it who's been actively involved in blocking efforts simply to put breakers into the lines to actually create a situation where if there were to be an attack, it wouldn't burn out the transformers? I mean, certainly it wouldn't be that expensive. We give away billions of dollars to Egypt or to, you know, to Saudi Arabia or to doesn't matter who. We're spending fabulous amounts of money all throughout the world, $40 or $50 billion a year on certainly foreign aid to other countries. You would think that the primary thing would be to defend America. And for a few hundred million dollars, we could defend our major cities. For a couple of billion dollars, we could defend the entire nation. Why isn't that being done? It just doesn't make sense.
I agree with you. It doesn't make sense, and I can't explain it. This is the third try on the SHIELD Act. Actually, two Congresses ago, it passed by a voice vote out of the House, and it was blocked in the Senate. I truly don't understand the reasons why it was blocked, but I think it's coupled to the private sector, back to the industrial folk who don't want the federal government looking over their shoulder, you know, the power companies and so on. I don't know whether that's better this time around or not. I took it as an encouraging sign that during his confirmation hearings, Dr. Moniz, a PhD physicist from MIT, and these were the confirmation hearings for his job as the Secretary of Energy, he was asked a direct question by Senator Murkowski about the EMP issue, and she was a senator who blocked it 5 years ago, I guess, in the Senate, as to whether he was aware of the EMP issues and whether he intended to understand them and to take care to make sure the power grid could withstand the electromagnetic pulse. And Dr. Moniz, to his credit, answered that he needed to learn more about it, but he was convinced that they needed to understand how to make sure that the electric power grid was not susceptible to either a natural, that is the solar threat, or the man-made, which would be the nuclear threat. And I hope he follows through on that. We'll be watching him closely at High Frontier, I can assure you of that.
Well, certainly if you're out there in the listening audience, you have a question on this subject, give us a call, because certainly there's nobody who knows this subject better than Ambassador Cooper. Our telephone number is 877-254-7524, 877-254-7524. Don't be bashful. This is the time to call if you have any question on this very, very important subject. But we're talking about the total shutdown of the electronic grid across America and chaos in our major cities. This is really what we're talking about. I mean, the greatest threat facing America today, and I've certainly studied this for many, many years, but I think this is the greatest threat facing America today. And yet we have no effective defense for it outside of Maine. And how long will it be before Maine would be fairly secure, before they can get the breakers into the lines there and get at least that one state secured so it would not be totally wiped out in case of an EMP attack? How long would it take Maine?
That's a good question, and I don't know the answer to that. An educated guess on my part would be that it wouldn't be a matter of months. It could be a matter of years. So I think we're a year or more away, at least in Maine, even from having their portion of the grid hardened. But at least they're taking the first steps. And by the way, one thing I did not mention when I was talking earlier about the solar condition, we know this is going to happen. We just don't know when it's going to happen. And most people who think about these issues think that it will happen during one of the periods where there are maxima, there are a large number of these solar flares. And the question is whether or not we'll get a major one like the one that happened in 1859. And this year, 2013, is toward the end, I suppose, of the window of the maximum, storms, the solar storms that produce these effects. In fact, a few weeks ago, there was one that came off that might have been such a storm, but it missed the Earth. And so, and we were turned the wrong way, I think, as well, when it went by. But, it's a matter of chance in some sense as to whether it will intersect the Earth, but it's not a matter of chance that it's going to happen. And it's also going to happen one of these days when we're facing the sun. And it would be catastrophic if we haven't prepared.
Well, our telephone number is 877-254-7524, 877-254-7524. If you have a question on this subject, why, there's no better person to be able to answer your question than Ambassador Henry Cooper, who heads a group called High Frontier, which is certainly aimed at a defense for America. We'll get into that and how to reach them as soon as we get back from the coming break. But this is a vitally important subject. You're not hearing about it through the regular media. Occasionally you'll see an article on it, and yet sometimes the solutions that are put out are so absurd that most people tend to discount it, and yet this is a threat that could ultimately destroy America we know today. We'll be back in a moment with Pastor Henry Cooper. Give us a call if you have a question or comment.
Should a natural or man-made disaster hit, do you have the will, the skill, and the gear? Gear up with Preparedness Gear, a full-service store located at I-25 and Highway 52, exit 235, just south of McDonald's. We have your survival needs. Long-term storage, food, water filtration, bulk grains, bug-out bags, survival equipment, and a comprehensive selection of educational books. Visit us online at preparednessgear.com for upcoming classes or call us toll-free at 888-981-9810. That's 888-981-9810. Get your gear on! Synthus, the uniformed people in Greeley, are saluting the police, firefighters, and paramedics and 9/11 dispatchers who work in our area. We thank them for doing a great job trying to keep our area a great place to live, shop, and raise a family. We realize their job is dangerous and sometimes thankless. This message is from Synthus, the uniformed people in Greeley. They can be reached at 970-352-2233. On the air, because they care. Named one of the most admired outsourcing companies in America, Synthus, the uniformed people.
The name is Patriot Trading Group, and the website is allamericangold.com. I'm Joe Jaquin, Vice President of the Patriot Trading Group, and we handle American gold for the American people because that's who we are, and that's who we care about. So if you want your portfolio to help you get the job done, or if you want your IRA to be safe from Wall Street and the paper markets and your kids' future to be protected, then call us, the Patriot Trading Group, at 800-951-0592. You'll be glad you did.
Hi, I'm Double A Aaron at Ehrlich Toyota on Highway 34 and 47th Avenue in Greeley. We offer a great selection of new and used vehicles at very competitive prices. I wanted to support the unique programming on this very important radio station and convince the dealership to help me. Give me a shot at earning your business when considering your next vehicle. I will treat you fairly and give you the respect I would want. Call me, Double A Aaron, at Ehrlich Toyota at 970-339-3900. That's 970-339-3900.
If you own a firearm, it's important to have proper training. Or if you're considering purchasing a firearm for self-defense, it's important to know the right person to train with. Josh at D&M TAC is a federally licensed firearms dealer, certified NRA instructor with a great firearms training course. Want more confidence with the operation of your firearm or to increase your precision and advance your level of training? This is the place. The hands-on in-depth classroom curriculum includes 4 hours of extensive range practice and basic firearms training, malfunction training, self-defense mindset, concealment training, and more, all at the greatest value in the gun training industry. If you want to learn proper firearm skills the right way, the first time, and want to surpass your current skill level, Josh at D&M TAC has the firearms training course for you. This course also qualifies you to apply for concealed carry permit and for advanced training. Beginner or advanced, tactical or defense, call 720-323-2534. That's 720-323-2534 and ask Josh about your KHNC listener discount.
Well, Dr. Stan, back there at the American Freedom Network. Our telephone number, if you'd like to call in, 877-254-7524, 877-254-7524. Ambassador, would you like to tell our listeners about your organization, High Frontier, how they can get in touch with you, and what they will learn if they do get on your regular email list? Incidentally, I should mention to our listeners that I do get the weekly emails from Ambassador Cooper keeping me abreast of what's really happening in this very important field. But what is High Frontier? How can people get in touch with you? How can they get on the email list?
Sure. Thanks very much for the opportunity for talking a little bit about High Frontier. General Danny Graham, who when he was in the Army was deputy director in his last post of the CIA, director of DIA, and most importantly for the nation's good, as far as I'm concerned, close advisor to Ronald Reagan, beginning in the 1976 time period and certainly in the 1980 campaign. And Danny, in particular, was very concerned about the nation relying totally on what was called mutual assured destruction, and with the acronym MAD. And the idea was that the way to keep the peace was to remain totally vulnerable and not be provocative by building defenses for the American people, but rather to threaten massive retaliation should the Soviets ever attack us. And this was the MAD theology. And Danny believed that there was a serious role that could be played by missile defenses, particularly because we had left ourselves totally vulnerable to attack by ballistic missiles, and that's the way the Russians went. Many people forget that in the 1970s they built up a massive force, and then frankly they're doing it again now, but in some sense we're reliving the 70s. But when Reagan came in, he asked Danny if he would to form an organization to go out and meet with the American people to understand if they would support a program to build missile defenses for the country, to examine whether or not the technology was now available that would permit us to do this. And Danny did that, came back with a positive answer, and on March 23rd, 1983, Ronald Reagan announced his what became known as the Strategic Defense Initiative when he said, wouldn't it be better to save lives than to avenge them? And he challenged the American people, American engineers and technologists, to build effective defenses. It was my pleasure for 5 years to defend that position to the Soviets, who hated the idea. They hated defenses, because they always built defenses anyway, and they cheated, in fact, on the treaties that we had to improve their defenses. But we ran into a big headwind in this country among the politically elite. And Reagan prevailed, and thanks to him, we now have the capability to defend the American people, but we still have the legacy of that political opposition that was there during the Reagan years, and unfortunately we no longer have him as our president to lead us. On the other hand, some of the programs have progressed. The Navy program is my favorite. I started it when I was the director of the SDI program 10 years ago, and they have progressed well. Last week, people may have noted that the ground-based defense up in Alaska and California failed in a test, and this happens, of course, when you're developing comprehensive systems, and unfortunately, that's a very expensive system, and the tests are very expensive, and so the press is playing that up as a big deal failure. On the other hand, the Navy has had an exceptionally sound testing history, led by operational forces from the very beginning. The ships that sail with the defenses were also involved in the testing, and their success rate is somewhere between 80 and 85%, which is an extraordinary record for a development program as well as an operational program. So, and that defense is capable of shooting down ICBMs if we have radar upstream that can provide information ahead, so that the captain of the ship can launch his interceptors before he and his local radar actually see them. And we are building systems, hopefully, to provide that. And that's part of the reason I was commenting positively in our last section about the question and answer with Senator Cochran and Admiral Searing, because it sounds like, to me at least, that the Missile Defense Agency is moving in the right direction on that front.
I think we have a caller. Who's calling in?
Yes. Yeah, hi.
Do we have a caller?
Yeah, hello.
Yes, you have a question for Ambassador Cooper.
Yeah, the question is that when this EMP goes off, will it fry all electronic devices, whether they're plugged into your wall socket or not?
The issue is whether they have a separate ground, I believe, rather than whether they're plugged in to the wall. And most likely, anything that's plugged in to the grid will be damaged. The safest procedure that you can adapt is called a Faraday cage. You actually put a shield around the items that you're trying to protect. And it doesn't have to be a complicated shield. It has to be a conducting shield, an old-fashioned garbage cans that were metal can provide this kind of a shield, but you want to make sure that you isolate the material, the thing you're trying to harden, the radio or whatever, from the can, the conducting material itself, cardboard or some non-conductor, to isolate it from the can. And there are folks who sell what appear to me to be pretty expensive Faraday cages. I don't think one needs that to go to that kind of complication. There are also more advanced technologies that allow you to do sort of what you do with lightning arresters and that sort of thing. As a matter of fact, if you study the EMP pulse, lightning is the middle wavelength of an EMP pulse. There's the low, long wavelength, mid-range of the frequency band, or I'm sorry, the low frequency band that is the threat to the grid, the electric power grid. There's the very high frequency, very short wavelength, which destroys the solid state components of various electronics. And then there's the mid-range in both frequency and wavelength that is what is common. Lightning is an example of, and we know how to protect against lightning. Lightning arresters, lightning rods that we put on our homes and so on is a means of dealing with that. To deal with the entire threat, though, I think we need a comprehensive approach to the electric power grid upon which everything else depends. You can replace your components that plug into the grid. The problem with the grid itself is that the major transformers are expensive, not that expensive, frankly, if you wanted to have extra ones. But if they're destroyed, they're not made in the United States. They're made in Germany and South Korea, and I believe Japan is now making them as well. But they're no longer produced in the United States. And without the national transportation, means of transportation, it could be, and even if you had them, they don't make that many. So it's months to years of getting them replaced.
Hold that thought. Our number 877-254-7524, 877-254-7524.
Should a natural or man-made disaster hit, do you have the will, the skill, and the gear? Gear up with Preparedness Gear, a full-service store located at I-25 and Highway 52, exit 235, just south of McDonald's. We have your survival needs. Long-term storage, food, water filtration, bulk grains, bug-out bags, survival equipment, and a comprehensive selection of educational books. Visit us online at preparednessgear.com for upcoming classes or call us toll-free at 888-981-9810. That's 888-981-9810. Get your gear on!
Square Root Construction is pleased to help support the American Freedom Network by offering our high-quality custom deck construction services. Established in 1990, Square Root Construction has been building high-quality decks and other types of outdoor living projects all along the Northern Front Range. We are licensed, insured, and have all the experience, knowledge, and skills to help you create the outdoor living oasis of your dreams. For your free consultation and no-obligation quote, give Doug a call at 303-517-8742 or visit us on the web at squareroconstruction.com.
The Beth Messiah Congregation invites you to come and experience a Messianic Roots biblically-based congregational fellowship as we observe God's Shabbat in Messiah Yeshua. Praise and worship services begin at 10:30 a.m., followed by an Oneg Shabbat meal, Midrash, and fellowship. Beth Messiah Congregation is located at 8333 Acoma Way in North Denver. You can find out more information by calling 1-800-205-6245. Everyone's welcome, so join us this Shabbat. And Shabbat Shalom, good Sabbath.
DRM Real Estate Advisors in Windsor is proud of our U.S. men and women in uniform. We thank you and your families for the sacrifices you've made to defend our freedom and freedom worldwide. We pray for your safety in war and your safe return. We honor those who've given their lives to fight terrorism. They are America's true heroes. This military tribute is from DRM Real Estate Advisors in Windsor, reminding all of us that our freedom has never been free.
Well, Dr. Stan here at the American Freedom Network. Is our caller still on the line?
Yes, I'm still here, Dr. Stan.
Okay, fine. And I think your question really was, certainly would our other items, certainly that we have in our house that are electronic,
certainly work. If there was an EMP attack, they weren't plugged into the wall. And I would think that, Ambassador, basically computers, even if they're not plugged in, would they be burned out, or is there a possibility they'd be burned out if they were not actually attached at the time of the attack or turned on?
I don't know the answer, direct answer to that. That's a good one, and that's one I should understand. I would anticipate that they could be burned out even if they were not on at the time. And they would be one of the items I would look to put in a Faraday cage.
Does that answer your question? Okay, fine. I think we have another caller. Who's calling in?
Good morning. Good morning. My name is Joe.
Fine. Do you have a question or comment?
Hello?
Yes. Go ahead.
Yeah,
you have a question.
I'm with you. Thanks.
All right. Thank you for taking my call. My question has to do on a scale. Considering that we have three power grids in this nation, if on the front line all of us have taken all of the, as a practical matter, all of the steps that we could to protect our end of the grid, so to speak, how much good would that do in the event of a catastrophe, considering that, you know, if I have a laptop and I have all this other equipment that I have protected and there's no power other than what I can provide on my own, I'm still going to be struggling in the midst of a social quagmire that results from the technical failure, not to mention the mores and the other problems that go with that. I've always thought in the event of the catastrophe on that day, if everybody goes camping and they're out in the woods fully armed and running short on food, I don't like that picture any better than what I foresee in the major population centers. And so as a practical matter, is there any intermediate way short of having the full government come in and say, look, all right, from now on, anytime you build anything and retroactively, we want you to put a duplicate set of transformers and another system in place alongside, like, for example, many years ago when Kenworth built their trucks, they installed a dual wire harness because they knew that it was susceptible to problems. So if a guy had a problem, he would disconnect the one that had burnt and alongside it reconnect the existing replacement as a simple matter. Is there any way that we can be effective in this aside from just trying to protect our own front line?
Well, I that's what the SHIELD Act, in my judgment, is really all about. And I think you are quite correct. I don't, even if you bought extra transformers, and put them in a Faraday cage, I don't believe the expense would be all that great. It would take time to do that, and it would be good business for the Germans and the Japanese and the South Koreans. But having a spare on hand in a Faraday cage, I think makes imminent sense. Because frankly, I know from my own experience during the Cold War, it's not just a matter of having a design, to harden the system. It is the problem of maintaining that hardening. It's an insidious problem. The electronics, are susceptible to, this electronic signal, the EMP signal. It's possible to get into, various ways that it could leak in. If you have a shield and there's a gap somehow, then the EMP can come in through the gap. And, I know of examples where we have hardened, we had good designs to harden, key, portions of our strategic system and our maintenance procedures damage that hardening. We learned about that through extensive testing, and in fact, without extensive testing, there's no guarantee that the hardening that you put together will be sustained. So it's not just a matter of designing a hardening capability. It is the problem of maintaining it that is key too. And this is an educational issue for our engineering segment in the community to harden the grid and make sure that it will survive. And frankly, I believe this is the appropriate role for the federal government. I am, as Dr. Stan can tell you, I'm a conservative, and I'd just soon have the government have as little to do with our lives as possible. But the first responsibility that the government has is to prepare for the common defense. And one of the main threats to this country is a threat to our security by adversaries. And the government is supposed to be protecting us, and they're failing at it. So I believe this is a place where the government, the federal government, should take initiatives to assure that the electric power grid is survivable against either a natural or a man-made threat. And frankly, I believe the Department of Energy is the focal point for making this possible. It has a cadre of people at our national laboratories who well understand these effects and can understand them anyway and how to harden against them. They have the authority to work with the electric power grid. They're overseen by the appropriate committees of Congress oversee energy and commerce in the House and energy and natural resources in the Senate. And these are the two Senate committees that are very important in working this problem. Department of Homeland Security has an assigned responsibility, but frankly, they're dysfunctional in dealing with it. The Department of Defense could deal with it, but they don't have responsibilities inside the United States. So the federal government is not really organized to deal with this issue. The one place that sort of has a one-stop shopping is the Nuclear Regulatory Commission, where they operate to some degree autonomously, and that's a very important place to assure that the reactors are appropriately protected against this effect, because if the cooling water is lost in those reactors, we could have the same kind of consequence that occurred in Japan. And even if you've hardened your local capability against the EMP effect, the radiation effects that might come from burn when the reactors meltdown.
Henry, we're just about out of time. Would you like to get your telephone number out for High Frontier?
Sure. Telephone number is 703-535-8774. And even more important is go to our webpage, highfrontier.org.
God bless. Thanks very much. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Great Plains Power has been providing reliable electrical power systems in the Rocky Mountain area since 1992. Our systems rely on the sun to help make you self-reliant for your power needs. Solar energy can be scaled to fit any situation, from complete power independence to backup power for the short term. Our expertise focuses on standalone power, but we have extensive experience with utility interactive systems as well. Custom tailored capabilities as modest as emergency lighting all the way to commercial scale power. Great Plains Power is a full service company. We service everything we sell. We provide and design turnkey packages, custom design system, and parts for do-it-yourself. With more than 20 years of specialized experience at your disposal, let us know what your power concerns or goals are. Reach us by phone or the internet. Call 303-239-9963. That's 303-239-9963. Or go to greatplainssolar.com.
This is a special news alert to consumers who owe more than $10,000 in back taxes to the IRS. Due to the financial hardship consumers are facing during the decline in the U.S. economy, the Internal Revenue Service is now accepting reduced settlements from consumers on back taxes, resulting in back taxes reduced by thousands of dollars. An open phone line has been established by Nationwide Tax Relief for consumers to call and see if you qualify for this reduction. To ensure your financial stability during this decline in the economy, take this number down or store it in your cell phone. 1-800-965-7804. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes to the IRS, there is no need to fear anymore. The IRS is now accepting reduced settlements from consumers, resulting in tax debts reduced by thousands of dollars. For your free information and to see if you qualify for your reduction, call in to the Nationwide Tax Relief Hotline. 1-800-965-7804. 1-800-965-7804. 1-800-965-7804.
Well, Dr. Stan here at the American Freedom Network, and I hope you enjoyed the conversation with Ambassador Cooper this morning. And certainly we have a
4-CD set on the threat of an EMP attack. And then we have a talk, the talk that Ambassador Cooper gave. What he spoke at our conference last year, and it's called The Threat of an EMP Attack. So you either get the 4-CD set or the DVD, or we carry the book A Nation Forsaken by Michael Maloof. Our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. In my opinion, this is the greatest threat to America today. It could happen at any moment, and America, as we know it, would cease to exist. And if this is true, why aren't you reading about it in the paper every day? Why aren't you hearing it discussed on television or on radio every day? Why are we spending all of our time talking about the Trevor Martin case and trying to create a division between black and white, because this whole thing is simply being coordinated by the people who control the media as a great distraction, as a great source of conflict between black and white, and that's what it's all about. It has nothing to do with the fact that basically Mr. Zimmerman was attacked. I mean, he may have been following, maybe he shouldn't have been following, maybe he should have left it to the police. But he was attacked, he was on the ground, his head was being beaten against the concrete. And the jury heard the facts. You and I don't know what happened, but the jury heard the facts, and they found Mr. Zimmerman not guilty. And all of this organization is being done by the establishment to create racial hatred in America. And when you understand that, and notice their power, why, of course, Sydney, why they control the media, they control radio and television, they control largely what we think. In fact, we have a wonderful book on how the media is controlled. It's called The New Media Monopoly. The New Media Monopoly, you need to get it, written by a liberal college professor going into how six corporations control the media. Of course, he doesn't understand they all tie into the Trilateral Commission and the invisible government. He thinks the right wing controls the media, the right wing thinks the left wing controls the media. And is really controlled by this small little group that we talk about, the Brotherhood of Darkness. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. Let me suggest the 4-CD set of the DVD, The Threat of an EMP Attack, the book, A Nation Forsaken, and my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, and the book on the media, The New Media Monopoly. Our number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Please go to our website, radioliberty.com. You can go to the section on listen. You can listen to our radio programs 5 hours a day when you hear this one, 1 hour. Then we do 4 other hours on live, and then all the programs are archived. Listen to them. Get others listening. Understand America is under in danger today. The very survival of you and your family are a threat because of the danger of an EMP attack and because of the degree of control over the media. You seldom or ever will hear this described. Why? Well, that's, of course, for another session. But if you read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, you'll begin to understand the forces aligned against freedom, because there are people who want to destroy America. And I fear, of course, over and beyond that, God is going to bring his judgment on this country, because America has turned against God. America is not a Christian nation anymore. Even many of our Christian leaders play down the problem. They talk about all sorts of things, but they've changed the music and the message of the Christian church. They've changed the music and the message of the Christian church. We have a good church, support it, but tragically, most churches have talked about love. Feels that it's going until tomorrow at the same time.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Tom Phillips, founder of the Green Herb.
The people who are controlling the government of America are the same people who are trying to control your family's health care. You can sit quietly by and accept their plan, or you can take responsibility for your health. What would happen if you could no longer obtain the medications you're now taking? Would you be forced to join the ranks of corrupt agents just to purchase the medicine? If you're one of the thousands of concerned citizens who would like to know more about a natural way, God's way to help, Drop by the Green Herb for a natural solution and all the information you need to make an intelligent decision. Or go to our website, www.thegreenherb.com. Come by the Green Herb, located in Wheat Ridge, Colorado, on the I-70 Frontage Road North, 1 mile west of Kipling, or call 888-765-HERB. That's 888-